And I'm Paul.
And this is GamerCast.
Correction, this is HaloCast.
By request of Bobman, who loves Halo absolutely loads and loads and loads, this is going to be a Halo-only podcast show. Every week it is Halo. If we're going to talk about Nintendo, it is going to be from, like, Cortana's point of view. We're going to talk
Cortana's point of view as an archaeologist looking at the history, you know, when they find crumpled up Wii controllers in the ground under, you know, 100 metres of rock. That's what we're talking about now. This is Halo land.
Exactly. And PS3...
And luckily, we know from geographic evidence that the PS3 was destroyed in a massive flood.
Yeah. That's what... Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, you see where previous episodes we had the PlayStation 2, we destroyed it, and it was all green inside. See, that proves PS3, they contain the flood. That's why they're so flipping huge. Don't open them. Don't buy them. They're the flood.
Oh man, the PS3 is dead. Some guy, the first time today, someone actually said I wanted a PS3.
Ooh.
And it was like, dude. So I just held up a poster of a Wii. And I didn't say anything. I just held it up. Right, so yeah, Bobman, he requested that we should make this sound like an American podcast where we go on about Halo all the time, because that's great. I mean, you know, he sponsors the show effectively, so, you know, he controls what happens, and he wanted us to be a Halo cast, so we're a Halo cast. Okay, let's close that email now before we read what he really said.
We really need to get some new t-shirts done as well.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be good.
We need a Bobman t-shirt.
Yeah, Bobman. Yeah, buy a Bobman GamerCast t-shirt. Speaking of t-shirts, you can buy our t-shirts and crap at cafepress.com/GamerCastShop.
The link is on our website, GamerCast.net, on the right hand side, and you'll see a really groovy picture of a t-shirt. If you can think of any other cool gaming sort of slogans or anything like that that's not majorly breaking copyright and either to do with us or previous episodes or anything absolutely stupid, send us in a picture or something and we shall get them made up. More the merrier. On with the show.
The show, man.
The show. Xbox 360 dashboard download. It is the new update coming soon.
This is exclusive GamerCast information, or at least it was a few days ago when we were shown by Microsoft the new dashboard. I mean, it's probably all over the net by now because we broadcast on Sundays, but they popped in to GamerCast headquarters and showed us the new dashboard, so we took some notes on it.
It is looking really nice. Fair enough, it's not a majorly big change, but like
it still looks the same. You know, you've got pages with stuff on.
It's still got all the blades and everything, so it's not like a major overhaul. Basically, it is like the little things, because as we all know...
It's polish.
The little things in life
make it better. There's so much polish on it. It reflects 95% of the sun's energy back into space.
Yeah.
It helps prevent the greenhouse effect. That's how important this dashboard update is.
But like I was saying to Paul earlier, the cool thing about any... It re-emphasizes how cool the Xbox 360 is, the fact that all of the software can be updated and made just that little bit sweeter. If someone's going, oh, if only it did that, and they're like, yeah, okay, we'll do that next time we make a new Xbox. It's like, no.
We don't have to wait 5 years for Sonic.
It's here on the next download. So, right. Stuff that's new.
Well, first off, we're going to announce this download will be available within 2 weeks.
Yeah. So basically all I can say is the next time you turn on your Xbox and it jumps onto Xbox Live and then goes, ooh, sorry, you cannot connect to Xbox Live until you have downloaded this download. I can only say one thing. Song and dance, people. Song and dance. Go get a Coke and a smile, sit down, wait for it to download, and enjoy happy, happy times, because it's going to rock. Sorry, I'm getting well excited about this. I've been waiting for this for quite some time.
I'll handle the minor bits of it.
Go on.
Minor bits. There's now... You know how you had to have a certain... You couldn't make your own picture for the gamer duber picture type thing. Now, I mean, essentially they did that because they didn't want someone showing their ass
or anything else.
Or, you know, whatever on... Because obviously there's, you know, they've got to have age restrictions and stuff like that, and if you've got people going around with those sort of pictures, it's going to create a bit of fluff.
Exactly, because you go online, you play Halo 2 or whatever, or even when Halo 3 comes out, you don't know who you're going to bump into online, and you can see everybody's gamer card, because that's what the great thing about it is these days. You don't want to see something that you don't want your little kids seeing.
Exactly. So now, what they've done is they've added an extra picture, a private picture, which only your friends can see. And you can take that picture with the upcoming camera, which is cool, because now, you know, we can do stuff.
It means I can have my picture up there, or whatever. I can take a picture of... Well, I must imagine...
Of our destroyed PS2.
Yeah, or I could get my camera and take a picture of my Lego Millennium Falcon and just have that as my little picture and stuff. So it'll just, it adds that little bit more customization while still keeping the safety of the fact that it's not just gamers our age that are using this console, it's everybody using this console. So it keeps a nice...
So, you know, everyone else will still see your public picture, but you and your friends list will see your private picture.
As well, just to quickly add, when we say private picture, we don't necessarily mean that if you don't have a camera or you're not into it, you're not going to get a private picture. If you wanted to have, I don't know...
Two sets of pictures.
The Master Chief, whenever anybody sees you offline, then fair enough. And if you've got some, I don't know, Joanna Dark that you want all your other friends to see you as, then fair enough, you can do that. You don't necessarily have to take a picture with a camera.
Right. Yeah, so all the camera support is now on the dashboard. So when they release that, you'll just have to plug it in. Friend status has been updated a bit, because now it automatically, when your screen darkens after 15 or 20 minutes, it will automatically show you as being away. So you won't have like 50 invites for games back on it, because everyone will know you're really there.
As everyone knows, the console already supports the ability to determine what you are. If you're off, you want to say... show people that you're offline even though you are online, or you want to say you're away or you're busy or stuff like that, same as MSN Messenger. It is quite hard to get to, and a lot of people don't know where
it involves a few button presses, which is annoying.
So a lot of people never bothered using it. I don't. So this means that at least as soon as you step away and your console goes to idle, your online status goes to idle, which is a nice touch.
Also, custom soundtracks will keep playing in between games. So, for example, if you've got some music playing and you start up a game, the music will stop. And you'd have to, you know, press a guide button and start it again. Now it will just continue playing. It will, however, know if you're watching a cutscene or a video, and it will shut up then. But, example, you know, Geometry Wars is a game I play a lot. You start Geometry Wars up, and I have to restart the music again. But now it will just continue playing, which is cool. And it will also remember your individual track volume settings all the time as well.
Which I like the idea of, because...
some things are quiet, some things aren't quiet.
Yeah, I must admit, you turn up that inner volume on your... on your guide, because you want the volume to be louder than your beeps and tweeps as you're moving around on the cursors, having a nosy around God knows what, having a surf on the Xbox Marketplace. You don't want to hear every boom, boom, majorly loud.
Boom, boom, boom,
so,
boom, boom.
I'm always turning it up full volume whenever I'm listening to music, so that I don't have to turn the TV up full volume and get it and everything else that loud. So it's going to make a nice change. So.
DVDs will now also remember where they left off, so if you stop playing a DVD halfway through, turn the system off, play a game or whatever, and put the DVD back in, they'll kick off from where they left off. Videos now have rewind and fast forward, and you can choose to boot to the dashboard or game no matter what's actually in the console, if there's a disc in there or not. Before, if you had a game in there, it would boot the game. If you didn't, it would boot the dashboard.
Now you've got that option to choose which one you'd kind of standard Xbox 360 settings, or you would prefer it that if it's got a disc in DVD or, well, DVD or game, Xbox game or Xbox 360 game, it will just ignore it and give you the option to boot it up once it's continued onto the dashboard.
Also, well, were you going
to
say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, in the options section, they've given you the ability to access your themes from the system blade, which means that it's literally to the last set of blades, click themes, and there's your themes there and then. So there's none of this having to remember, right, do I have to click on my gamer card, or do I have to open my guide? you know, it's there quickly and you can change it a lot better.
Also, the marketplace has had a bit of an overhaul. It's had all new subcategories and stuff like that, so you can find stuff a lot easier. And most importantly, which I'll let Adam deal with.
Yep. The thing that everybody has been looking forward to is the fact that now when you go to download, say, a trailer or a demo, anything that is like up to 700 megs like Madden or the many other trailers, demos that are out that are excruciatingly large and you're having to spend all day. The amount of times I have had mine on for a day or a bit and you're like, oh, I want to play a game, so you pause it, you cancel it, and you come back to it and it tries to find where it was. Now, as soon as you start downloading something, it goes into a list. You come out of that download and it will continue to download. You can go around surfing wherever you want, play a game, it will continue to download. You can go back and pick something else and it will put it as pending. So you can have
six things in the queue.
Yeah. So you've got all those six things. You can also determine which one goes first. You can say, ah, no, I really want this one now. Say you were downloading something small, like a theme. Like your sixth one was a theme, and it's like, right, I've got to wait for all six of these massive big demos to download before I get my theme. You can tell your theme to jump over the top, the rest of them pause, and it'll come back to them later. As well as while you're playing a game, so like we said before, you can have your soundtrack all playing, not interrupting anything. Go pick some downloads to have download in the background, and then load up Project Gotham.
If you play single player, they're continuing to download in the background, but if you switch to multiplayer, it will pause the downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go back to single player over the dashboard, it will kick the downloads back off.
The same as when turning off the console.
So it's brainy!
It knows what it's doing, which is good because
it can see what you're doing.
Like with, obviously, Sony haven't really said anything apart from that it's like an online place where people can meet. Nintendo's 24 connection where it all updates automatically online while on what was the word? When it's idle. When you turn it off but you've still got the little light on. What would you call that?
Standby.
Standby, thank you. Couldn't think of the word. Even when you have that console on standby, it will continue to download. With your Xbox 360, it means that now when you're downloading something, you haven't got that annoyance where you can't turn off. Because if you try and turn off the controller, there's only one way to turn off a controller, and that's to yank its batteries out. Where now you can go turn the controller off or leave it, do what you want, play a game, watch a DVD.
In the background, which is cool.
It's going to make it a nice added bonus to it, because I find that
it's a pain in the ass to download stuff. That's basically what it is, because it hogs your fucking 360.
Yeah.
I don't want to play on my 360. I don't want some download to play on my 360.
Exactly. I haven't got all of the E3 stuff down. I'm just taking them off bit by bit for the show, but I could sit there and watch all of them. But it means that I can't use my 360. It means most of the ones I've got from E3, I've literally left my console on upstairs. I go downstairs and work on the PC, and every now and again I'll come up, take it out of idle mode, and go, ooh, 90% done, I'll come back in 20 minutes. Come back, oh, it's downloaded now, I won't watch the trailer because I've got to use my time up to download the next big thing. So
it's an important feature.
Definitely making a big, big difference to the console.
Indeed, I'll probably download stuff now.
Right. The other thing that was mentioned, but it's not on this build, but it is an idea that they've had for the future, like they've said with a lot of things that have started to come into place, is video strategy guides on the marketplace has been mentioned. The idea of having downloadable videos of levels being completed or hard areas that people are having trouble with. The same as like what sometimes you can download them off the internet, or normally they're just descriptive pages. This will actually be like a video of people showing you how to get past these really hard bits on levels and stuff.
So that's cool.
Which I think is a nice idea, because a lot of the Xbox is showing you a lot of what you'd normally find in a magazine, where you're getting videos and stuff like that. And to be able to have those extra bits that you would have in a magazine, like big spreads of pages with maps and telling you how to get this, and this is where you find all the extra ammo and that life that you really need to get past this next level. It's nice to have that put in.
Yep, also they've announced that these they're going to do two big updates a year of the dashboard. So this is one of the updates this year.
Which is really nice to know that it's always going to be fresh. It's always going to be updating. Normally those ideas don't normally come about and you have to wait till that next console are always going to be implemented.
Or Sony force you to buy a new model on their existing console just to change a tiny little bug in it.
It's always updated, it's always new.
Okay, next thing. DS Lite. It's really nice. It's out on the 23rd of June in the UK. And it's really nice.
I must admit,
but Tetris is fucking disappointing.
Really? I haven't had a go on Tetris
it's
yet.
So... God, they could have done so much more of it. I'll drop this in the show for now. Tetris DS, or whatever it's called. Don't use the touchscreen. On the top screen, you've got fucking Mario jumping around doing something.
Yeah.
And on the bottom screen, you've got the Tetris thing, which you just use as normal. So it's exactly like, you know, a Game Boy version, only with a top screen with Mario jumping around doing stuff that's seemingly unrelated.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with games like Tetris, is the fact that... I'm a majorly big Tetris fan. It's the first game I owned. My mum owns a Game Boy specifically for Tetris. She plays it non-stop. She even jams her cartridge into my Game Boy player so she can play it on the big TV. And it's like they had the new Tetris and the colour Tetris and stuff, and they started changing stuff, and that's when it started getting a bit unpopular. I think the problem was, when Tetris came out, they hit the nail on the head the first go. I think it was just the most perfect addictive game, you know. And
it is product of Soviet technology. Of course it is perfect. It's only when Western bourgeois wreck it that it becomes crap.
So I think with that whole getting away from the touch sensitive screen, at least it means that they're trying to keep to the original format of the game and try not to go too crazy, otherwise it would have been a bit
Tetris.
I know.
Old
Tetris.
School.
Do 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 you don't want to hear me sing that.
Do you want me to put the actual proper one on again?
I've already had it. Right. Can I see the show notes?
No. You're going to see the Tetris box.
The Tetris box.
With St. Basil's Cathedral on it.
Right. Marketplace demo, trailer I downloaded to have a look. It's on the E3 section.
E3.
Marvel Alliance. A lot of Marvel games, unless they're specifically made for a movie, you get like the X-Men ones and stuff like that, a lot of people get a little bit disappointed because they're never what they want. A lot of this genre normally ends up in a beat-em-up or a game where you're running around and you don't have all the control of the powers. It's kind of like four people, you're running around and you're doing this and you've got to charge up your power to be able to do the special attack, and it's kind of like, oh, there's so much more. And I think it's only the movie titles that get a bit better, like Spider-Man, one of the best ones that's been done. X-Men 2 Wolverine's Revenge was another good one because of the fact that they went into more detail of being able to use Wolverine's powers and his hunting skills and stuff like that, and being able to sense where people
were. Hang on, is this something related to X-Men?
What?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, quite. Back to Alliance. What they've done is they've shoved in every bad guy from the Marvel comics, and they've shoved in, well, when I say every, they've shoved in all the big players, and they've done the same with the goodies as well. And you make up your specific team. So if you're like, Johnny Storm, or for me, it'd probably be Johnny Storm. I do like Blade. I'd have to have Spider-Man in there, probably Daredevil, Captain America, and you could have, right, I want those ones, and then you make up your own team, and you can, there is word of like customization of badges and stuff, so you're making up your own superhero team with using normal superheroes, going against Doc Ock, Doctor Doom, so on and so forth. Sorry, I'm going to have to be quick so I can pull full stick.
On the plus side, there's this really cool game. It's called Quake.
Quake.
Oh, God, I want to play Quake now. I want to play Doom.
If there are any big Marvel fans out there that do like these sort of games, it's a definite must to have. From the look, go download the trailer or get it off the internet, it looks like a winner, I must admit. You know, it's not majorly into much detail. They had that latest one that was out, was the beat 'em up one. What was it? Nemesis. Yeah. Now, Nemesis was quite good because it took a really far away from the whole beat 'em up genre, where it was more of a just run around a third person platform in an arena and use all your powers to attack
each other. Quick Free Arena. Oh, that's a good game.
So this one does look quite interesting. It's on my list of things to get. And I will continue to speak if I can see the shirts. Go on, Paul. Let me see the shirts.
Table tennis.
Table tennis. Had a quick go at this with Damien. He was well up for buying it. I must admit, I was kind of like, table tennis. Why? Why indeed? But control-wise, pretty much up there with Top Spin. Animation, obviously, you know, I'm an animator, yada, 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 but I'm looking at this not in the sense of the animation. The animation, probably with motion captured or something, but the animation on how it jumps between each animated move to another while you're trying to get around the ball was done really nicely. It looks realistic. The blends between each file is absolutely lush. The models look really nice because of the fact that because it's table tennis, the camera shots are in really close, so you can see the players a lot more. Unlike when you're at tennis, the view is like a normal camera, you're a bit further out, you don't really see that detail of the players apart from when they're kind of shaking hands over the net. It is fast. I was only playing it with Damien. We're only playing against our own skills. We're only using a few buttons. There's plenty more buttons there to do different spins and use the bat in a different way. You really can get that whole classic fast table tennis going, where they back away and they are moving really far away from the actual table tennis court. It's not like how you play it with your mum at the campsite in Cornwall or something, and you're just there hugged against the table, get as close as you can. These guys, you are playing it properly. You can get
it's up hardcore,
to the,
man.
You can start up there, and as you get away, you can start getting a bit further back, and you're really going for it. Like Top Spin, it's easy to play, hard to master, sort of thing. So lots of fun.
Good game.
Good game.
And it's only £30.
Yeah, not something I'd possibly go out and buy, but you know,
I'm tempted to nick it.
Is worth it. Myself, I went out and I spent my money on Hitman, Blood Money. The
a game that fourth. Apparently is good.
Fourth in the series. Storyline is really well done for the series going through with Agent 47. If no one's actually played it before, as in Hitman, Hitman 2, or Hitman Contracts, like myself, have a look at the trailer, see what you think. I would say give it a go. One thing that's really good about it is there is enough explanation through the beginning that you get the gist of what's happened previously.
It's probably the best Hitman there is.
Yeah.
Because the other Hitmans I thought were, frankly, lame. But this Hitman, it's more darker. It's, you know.
Yeah. The other thing is extra features that have been added, which are really nice. I can't remember how it's pronounced, morality or something like that. Basically, when you do it as rookie, it's not activated, so I haven't had a go at using it yet. But when you play as normal or up, I'm basically going through the missions on all of them, because there's points for everything. But if you bodge up a mission, you get caught on CCTV, or there's witnesses, if people see you and you do not take them out, as in when you're actually you're gun-ho and you're shooting everything, if people catch you, when you complete the mission, it loads up a virtual newspaper. Now, it'll still do this in the lower levels, like rookie, even though that it doesn't affect the game. You can actually read the newspaper. You zoom into it and you read the newspaper, and it describes what happened when this person was assassinated. But the cool thing is, it is unique to what you did. It says how many shots were fired, because they pick up all the shells and cartridges, so that's how many shots you fired, how many people were killed, how many people were witnesses, and if anybody saw anything, it gives a brief description of you. And the more times you keep getting your ass caught and you keep bodging up missions, eventually you'll start getting noticed in the newspaper and they'll start putting an artist's description of you. And when you start doing other missions, it gets harder and harder to sneak around, because people will start recognizing you. Security will go, ooh, he looks
that's
like
cool.
so it makes the game harder if you start buggering up missions. But you can also pay for cleaners to go in to get rid of bodies, get rid of evidence, pay bribes, pick up your suit if you left it behind. If you leave your custom guns behind, if you have to drop them in the middle of a firefight, which is another cool option, instead of putting them away, if you're just about to run out, you just throw them to the ground, pull out a new set, shoot with them, or dive at the person who's shooting at you, and you can twist the gun round, shoot them in the chest and use their gun, shoot a couple of times, then drop it and pick up something else.
Cool. Couple of questions.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Pilot Fleetway?
That is Damien.
Cool.
He paid to change his name.
Who the hell is Sub-0144?
That would be Matt.
Matt who?
From work.
Yeah, Xbox One, isn't it?
Yeah, because he doesn't have a 360 yet.
Okay, cool. I was just looking at my gamer stuff.
But yeah, little things like that. You've still got the advantage of the fact that as you're going through, any weapons you pick up are yours when you leave. So they go into your list and into your hideout. And you can go back to your hideout and you've got gun racks with all your standard weapons plus everything else you pick up. And you can have a go at those, see which ones you like. Yeah, I don't like this one, it's rubbish. Or pick up Desert Eagle and you're like, oh yes, I'm having this. You know to pick it. Instead of going through half of a mission with a gun, and as soon as you pull it out, you're like, yeah, this is a load of crap. Throw it away. One thing that I think you will like is the fact that...
Hey, me.
It's a third-person game.
Oh.
One thing that I do like about third-person is, say you're looking straight at Agent 47.
Yeah.
You know, as you pan the camera around, you've still got the crosshairs. You can pull the crosshairs behind him, and if a character's coming up and you've got them in the crosshairs, you can still shoot them, and the guy, he'll just turn around, shoot from behind, and then turn back again.
So there's no dodgy aiming system in it. It's still remotely first person.
Yeah. You click down to go into first person mode. You know, like some of these third ones where you go into first person, you don't see anything. You're just in that view. You can't see any arms. You can't see a gun.
Yeah.
This looks like it was built specifically as a first person game. So, and you can have it, you can do the whole entire game first person. You can see the arms of the agent, you can see them reload the gun and everything. So it is,
cool.
There's nice features. And the other thing that I like about it is, as an assassin, your specific style is how you do it. If you want to go in, taking people out, hiding them so no one finds them, dressing up as their clothes and going around and no one ever knows you're there. You're paying attention to all the guards, knowing which areas that person you're playing as can't go into and changing all the time. Pull out a needle and you just inject in some poison in someone's drink and you're near enough halfway out before that person drinks it and they drop down dead, classified as an accident, no one knows you're there. If you're more of a person to get halfway sneaked in, pull the power, cut the lights, pull out some guns and run around with silencers going and you leave everybody for dead, then fair enough. If you want to, you can walk straight through the doors with an M4 and just shoot everybody that's there. And you can go around and mass murder the entire
area. Oh, that's cool,
area.
Man, if we can mass murder people.
I've gone, and you get a rating. I've gone in and I've been a cleaner, I've been an eraser, mass murderer, been known as terrorist, all depending. You know, and there's lots and lots of good variety of different areas to go to, from mob bosses' houses, a place where mob bosses end up going when they have got a drinking habit, kind of like a little hospital sort of thing, casinos, little bit towards a more government area, I won't say what. I'm trying to think of the other areas there is. There's somewhere there's more inside than outside, and there's somewhere you can keep coming outside the building, coming inside the building, and your customizable weapons, which you will always keep, and you pay to have them customized as you go through. You have your silver, I can't remember what he calls them, silver balls, something like that. It looks like 45s. You customize and you can add different bits on. A short machine gun with, and I think it's an MP5 that he has that customizes, but it comes as just the machine handgun, and you add all the stock on, whatever you want to have on. A customizable shotgun, customizable M4, and I can't remember the name of the sniper rifle. It begins with a W.
Wonka rifle.
But which is nice. And you also get other sniper rifles. The other cool thing is, shooting the birds. The M4 and the shotgun, you cannot hide. If you put them away, you basically hold them in your left hand. So the cool feature is the fact that the agency will drop a box off hidden somewhere that will have your weapon in. Your sniper rifle just comes apart and goes in a suitcase, which you can walk around carrying. And then you can open up the suitcase and you just this little cutscene showing and put them together. But that cutscene is... There's a sniper rifle. That cutscene is effectively real time. You can get shot while you're actually putting your gun together. So you have to take that opportune moment to quickly put your gun together, pull it out, and then you can either drop the gun and run off, or you can, if you've got time, put it back in your suitcase and walk along with your suitcase. Accidents are another good one. You can knock people over. I was on a boat and I was just knocking people over the edge, so it looks like an accident. There's no sense of foul play. The more bodies get found, the more suspicious everybody gets, and they'll start hunting for you. If you get caught doing something in a certain costume, it is wise to change costume quick, and that will change your meter, which is that one there. You've got 2 meters, your life one, and then you've got your tensity of how tense the moment is, and that goes up in through green to yellow and then red. When it gets full red, basically it means anybody's classified as an enemy, which will be a yellow dot on the map, will shoot you on sight, which means that you've got to wait for the situation to calm down or change your appearance. As well as that, the interaction between the enemies and people with Agent 47, you'll have a lot of people where if you're dressed up as, say, a guest, and you try to go into the staff areas, people will go, hey, no, you're not supposed to come here, and they'll start putting their hands out, trying to emphasize stopping. And if you bash past them, all of a sudden they'll chase after you, or they'll run away and call security, and security will come looking for you. Some areas they will actually say, hey, stop, I've got to search you for weapons. And if you let him, he'll walk up, pull out one of those scanners and go up and down. And if you find them, some places will basically just shoot on sight. Some will say, sorry, I can't let you through unless you hand over your weapons. So then you hand over all your guns. You will still have your wire and bombs and also... your needles to inject people to either sedate them or to kill them. So those can get past everything, but all your weapons you'll have to hand over. So sometimes you've got to think around it. You've got to think, right.
Should I just drive in here with a tank and mow everyone down?
Yeah, you can think like that. You can think, I'll get the biggest gun, shoot everybody there, and work my way through and just make sure I use everybody's human shields. Or you think, hang on, I'll go into the kitchens, I'll knock out a waiter, hide him in the freezer, wear his costume, pick up a plate of food, stash my gun in there, so when they scan me, they don't scan the food, they scan me. Oh, no gun, yes, go in, pull the gun out, drop the thing in the head, and you walk out and no one's the wiser.
Murder is wrong.
But assassination, it's for money. So yeah, I'm impressed.
So yeah, best Hitman game there is. I don't know if I'll buy it because it is kind of pricey and it doesn't look next gen.
No, it you can tell from the looks of things, graphically, it's a top Xbox One graphically made game. What they've done is, for the Xbox 360 version, they've allowed them to go a bit further and they put all the advanced lighting system in and they've made the models a lot sweeter. So you can notice a difference, a bit like with Tomb Raider. But at the end of the day, this sort of thing is not going to end until the Xbox and the PlayStation 2 have come out of commission. Because they're always going to have these games that they want to try and launch.
What we need to do is murder the PS2.
So you're going to keep getting these sort of things. But it's still cool. There's plenty of things on the achievements to try and get. One thing I like about this game is there's plenty of secret achievements that you don't know what they are until you get them. I've only got one so far. So there's lots to keep you going. And the cool thing is it's such a cool game, if you like that sort of thing, that you can keep playing each mission again and again. And you can think to yourself, yeah, bollocks to it, I'm just going to go in and just shoot everybody. Or see if you can actually complete the entire mission and not even be noticed. You are a shadow to everybody. No one even pays you a single bit of attention. But no, lots of little things that are nice. You can buy intel to figure out what you're supposed to do. The map's pretty useful in the sense that you'll see people in real time walking around. So when you bring up the map, you cannot pause. So you can see when people are coming towards you, or where your marker moving to and stuff like that, and points of interest. He doesn't tell you how to complete the mission. That's basically up to you. Figure out yourself. But it'll show points
Kill
of interest.
Kill everybody.
And you'll go to the point
in
of interest.
The whole world.
And it could be a drink, and you're like, well, shall I poison it? should I drink it? You know, you figure it out for yourself. So the good thing about the game is he doesn't basically turn around and blatantly say, this is how you kill someone. It says, look, you're the assassin, that's the mark, they're dead, we give you money, you figure the rest out. And I think that's a good way of making a game like this. It's not too boxed in and saying, this is it.
Okay. Go ahead.
And that's my review on Hitman.
So what else is going on in Gamerland? Nothing. Ooh, I've got to download that.
Yeah, MotoGP 06 is still another one on my list of marketplace downloads.
I'll download the Ghost Recon demo as well.
Yeah. Just so you can have a go on that. I've been playing a bit more Ghost. It's getting good. I'm hoping that they'll get a extra level or something. Or something else. I hope that Ghost ends up being one of those games where they'll continuously add bits instead of saying, oh, we'll just wait until the next one.
Indeed.
So I think that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, man, that's it. Not quite 2 hours, but never mind.
Well, is that what you were hoping for?
No. Yeah. We can't spend 2 hours talking about fucking Tetris.
Tetris. But no, so things looking forward to. Check out the new Marvel Alliance, download the old trailer. Hitman, there is a demo of it on Marketplace, so you can give it a go.
That's free demo, son.
Because I caught Damien bought table tennis, and when I got home and started playing Hitman, I found he wasn't playing table tennis, he was there playing the demo of Hitman. I think he probably changed his mind and wishes he bought that.
Table tennis is good.
I do like it, but I think you've got, unless you're a major sport.
Hitman is a multiplayer, isn't it?
No, it's just complete single player. It's you yourself go around and assassinate. But then sometimes I need games like that. You end up with games that are too open-ended that you're like, you just feel like you're repeating yourself. Like, fair enough, if I'm in the mood to drive a Ferrari, God knows what speed around corners, I'll play Project Gotham. If I'm in the mood, I'll shove on ice hockey and just play a couple of matches. But since I've got rid of Cameo and Perfect Dark, I've only got Ghost. I'm stuck on Ghost at the moment, but I'm not going to get rid of it. I'll just wait until I pick up the initiative to get past this level. So it's nice to have something a bit different where I can go around and just shoot. It's cool.
Well, hey, yeah, I've still got to play Perfect Dark. I've still got complete Cameo.
Yeah, Cameo is still on my list to complete, even though I don't own it. But
well, I'm stuck at the moment.
I've been royally stuck. I've been stuck for ages. But when I've got money, I've promised myself that I will buy back a copy of Perfect Dark and Cameo, because they're really good games. They're games that should be kept on that console, because they're just fun to play. Especially Perfect Dark. Until Halo comes out, that's one of the top multiplayer first-person shooters on the console, without going
Indeed.
To realistic sim versions like Ghost, where it's easy to be shot.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
That's it for this week?
That is it, man!
A good show?
Yeah, this week's show was sponsored by Bobman's pro-American, pro-Halo faction of Secret Underground
cults. We want a GamerCast t-shirt with saying, I am Bobman, I love Halo. Give me a console. It's so easy. But yeah, if you've got any ideas, any slogans, anything that could be put onto a t-shirt, have a look at the one we've already done so far to give you an idea.
It is pretty lame, but whatever.
It's just a simple one, just, you know, a GamerCast t-shirt, the simple version. But if anybody can draw anything that looks good, do something in Photoshop, or give us an idea, because I can... If you're not very good at drawing or anything like that, or you've got a simple idea, do something in Photoshop, I obviously can alter it and make it look a bit more pizzazz, and we'll shove them all on there.
And then you can buy them and give us loads of money.
Yeah, I'm intending to get a GamerCast t-shirt, because I thought it'd be good advertisement to walk around with my GamerCast t-shirt on. But obviously, be careful on anything that goes against copyright. We don't want to get completely entwined with that.
We don't want to lose our whole penny we made the other day.
Yeah.
We can't be sued and lose all that penny, man.
But, No, GamerCast t-shirts at GamerCast.net. Leave feedback at feedback@GamerCast.net. Any arguments or anything you want to add onto it, go to Portal Forums.
Audio feedback as well.
Yeah, audio feedback. We want to get some audio feedback.
Or else there will be trouble.
Anything like a letter. Even if you just want to say, yeah, guys, show rocks and leave it at that. That is absolutely brilliant. If you want to turn around and say, yeah, I believe this and this, that, and the other. You want to start an argument, Paul is the argument king and would love one. You know, he won't take offense to anything you say. He just wants to argue about it and win.
I always win.
Or if you just want...
Oh, man. That fucking work experience noob, he was totally pwning an argument the other day.
Yeah.
He was going on about how the Macintosh is like the second coming of Christ. And then he said that... He said the PowerPC was faster than the Intel processors. And then he said the Intel processors were faster than AMD processors.
Joy.
The Apple ideology of bollocks.
Owning an Apple is like a religion. You believe so blindly you don't believe, you can't see the forest for the trees. But yeah, at least what was I talking about? Audio feedback. If you want to give your own little quick review about a game or something, just 2 minutes saying, I played this game, what do you guys think of it? I think this rocks, or this game is the worst thing I've ever played. Because
Bruce Lee.
Obviously we can't play every game that's out there, and every person who listens, everybody's got a different favourite genre or a different style of game playing. So if there's a game out there you've just bought and we haven't mentioned it and you think it really rocks and you would like people to know about it, say it on a letter, we'll listen to it, we'll do a bit of research into the game, and we will say...
A bit of research, hang on, you're committing us to do work here. Don't commit us to do work.
Well, I'll go to play.com and read a review, I don't know. We'll borrow it from work and have a go on it ourselves. It depends what the game is. But obviously, if there's a game out there that you really like and we're not mentioning it and we don't know anything about it, mention it and we will look into it.
Hey. Also, there's a new website, danews.net, danews.net, which... We got an email from the owner the other day of the website, and he says it's going to rock, and they're just gearing it all up now, ready to, you know, spew some gaming news over the internet. So check out that website as well. Yeah, check out some other websites like Xbox360degrees.com. That's a really good site. Portalforums.net, as Adam already mentioned, is a good website, forum type thing as well.
Yeah, plenty of stuff on there, depending what your...
also, give us money.
Your flavour is, if you're... you want to talk about hardware, or you want to talk about software.
Or if you want to talk about politics, or if you want to talk about science, or if you want to talk about whatever.
Oblivion, previous...
how much EA suck. How much the PlayStation sucks.
Or anything about on the show, then leave your feedback. I think we've dribbled on enough.
Yeah, I think that's it for this.
The dribble is going from the corner of my mouth.
Okay, so that's really it for this week.
Well, that's what's
right. Catch you next week.
Yeah, later.